be, Arn, would you do me a favor and bring me a glass of water? I don't have a glass of water up here this morning, and I am going to need it this morning. Thank you, Bjorn. I appreciate that. It's always so nice to have people to take care of those little needs for us when we have them, and I need to say thank you again publicly to Bjorn as well as privately. I appreciate that he would be so willing to do that. The gospel text today comes from Luke, and I encourage you that take your Bible, take the pew Bible, turn to Luke 14, verses 12 through 15 today, and then I'm going to ask you to stand as I read God's word. And I want you to follow along, listen to what God's word has to say, and as we apply it to our lives today. Luke 14, beginning at verse 12. And he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. When the one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Let us bow before our Lord this morning. Lord, again, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the music this morning and how it has touched us, how the word read this morning has moved us. Lord, we just pray now that your spirit has already got our hearts prepared, but now, Lord, that you'll quiet our minds, that we understand, and Lord, you'll unstop our ears so that we'll hear your word. We'll hear your voice, O Lord, as your spirit speaks to each one of us. Move us, Lord, to understand. Move us to accept your word as you take and deal with whatever it is in our lives that you need to deal with. In thy name we pray. Amen. I titled my message today, Who Did You Invite for Dinner? I know that most of you, like my family, when you sit down to eat, you pray. But what are you doing when you're praying before a meal? My prayer is that you are truly asking God's blessing upon that meal, that you are truly thankful for the bounty that he has provided, and that you are truly inviting Jesus Christ to come alongside and be a part of the festivities. But what about those who are less fortunate? What about those who have no family? What about those who've messed up their lives? In the paper, it talks about 18-year-olds that are arrested for burglary, 20-year-olds. I lost my mic. For some reason, it didn't stay on my belt today here. Okay, we're back on, right? Okay, sorry about that. Anyway, arrested for armed robbery, 20 years old. What are these young people thinking? They've messed up their lives. Have you ever thought that maybe you need to take and be a friend to someone like that? Maybe it's someone in your own family. Maybe it is someone that you know. But we need to understand that these people have messed up their lives. They need you and I. Have you ever thought about anybody else when you've sat down to a meal? Or are all you're thinking about is yourself when you sit down. I believe this morning that our text is giving you and I a challenge. One of the things I think that Christ did best was to point out the flaws in religion. Religion is what man attempts to try to do. He tries to get closer to God. Religion says, if we do things, I'll get closer to God and God will love me. And then we'll be right with him. There's a difference between religion and Christianity, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In Jesus' day, religion was big business. On almost every page of the New Testament, you will find Jesus came up against all kinds of games that were being played by religious leaders. The religious leaders of that day were arguing about self-righteousness, righteousness that they themselves could put forth. They didn't want to talk about the fact that God is the one that makes us righteous, not ourselves. Jesus' favorite target was the Pharisees, a highly religious sector of religious leaders who believed that they had the complete corner on the market of who God was and how God operated. They acted like they had it all under control. They dressed in these fancy robes, had lots of tassels, drawing lots of attention to themselves because they wanted to be noticed. They wanted to be saying, hey, we're the ones that live right. We are blessed by God. But Jesus said they were a lot like a whitewashed tomb. Clean on the outside, but inside they were full of death. There was nothing inside. There was nothing as far as a personal relationship with God. You see, Jesus understood that to be alive, God had to touch the inside. He had to clean the inside of us. He had to change things. The change begins on the core, not on the outside, not the surface stuff. Are we listening to what Jesus is saying to you and I today? Or are we just playing religion today? During the time that Jesus walked here on earth, they were very careful who they invited to dinner. What about you? Are you careful about who you invite to dinner and sit down at your table? How many of you would be honest with yourselves and with those around you that you have someone on your list that you would not invite to dinner? Boy, does that question hurt, huh? Kind of starts to hit home a little bit. Because oftentimes, most of us choose guests for our own benefit. Jesus realized that even as he had been invited to that dinner party that day. We may do it without even realizing it at times. We do it without thinking about it. We don't go around saying, oh, I wouldn't invite this person or that person. I certainly wouldn't invite that young man because he just took and stole a bunch of electronics from our neighbor. We may not say it. We may even seem to not think about it. But that doesn't change the truth of what we're doing. Most of us invite on the basis of what am I going to get out of this? In truth, most of us love the same way that we invite people to dinner. I believe that Jesus is really getting at is that he wants you and I to stop playing games. If all of those of you who are married would love your spouse unconditionally without expecting anything in return, divorce would become one less than 1% in this country. Now, who's guilty? Who do we have to look at? Sharon is not sitting here today at this service. She was at the first service, and I used this same example this morning, and if Sharon was here, she could stand up and tell you, I do not love her unconditionally. I'm not perfect. We need to quit playing the game because these games are not going to fulfill us. The games will not change someone's life. We cannot continue to just go around playing church. Life is not a dress rehearsal. Life is a real thing deciding where we're going to spend eternity. The game that most people are playing, it makes them look good. It makes them feel good. But there's no change on the inside. It doesn't clean up the mess, the sin that's within us. Jesus said that if you only invite people that benefit you, your reward is going to be small. When Sharon and I lived in the Bemidji area, we attended a small church. That small church consisted of several widows. These widows had no family, either that was left living, or their families were thousands of miles away. I have not found another church with so many widows with no touch point of family within the area of the church. But Sharon and I had made it our mission to invite as many of these widows as would come to our home for dinner following the Christmas Eve service each and every year. Our three older children at that time, they thought that everybody did this on Christmas. Everybody was inviting somebody that wasn't family to dinner on Christmas Eve. We did it not to get dinner invitations back, and we did not get dinner invitations back. We didn't want those invitations back. The purpose was to reach out to those who had no family. It was such a blessing to us. Christmas Eve always got to be very late for us as a family. We didn't care. I don't tell you this to put a feather in my hat or in Sharon's, but rather that you may learn from our example of the blessings that are out there. It's the little things that you and I do that make a difference. Several years after we had left Bemidji, I remember stopping back and visiting with some of these widows. And what did these widows talk about? They talked about getting together with our family on Christmas Eve. That had left an impression on them. All we had done was invited them to come and have dinner with us. We didn't make it anything special. We just opened up our hearts. Jesus offers us an alternative guest list in Scripture today. He says, instead, I want you to invite the poor. I want you to invite those who are crippled. I want you to invite those who are lame. And I want you to invite those who are blind. Have you ever criticized anyone's guest list? Quite the way Christ did that day. Christ was talking to the person that invited him to dinner, and here he sits there and tells him he invited the wrong people. Well, I don't believe that I have ever done that to anybody, but I do believe that that day there were many people, including this host, that were very shocked at Christ and his accusations, his criticism. We so oftentimes want to get this picture that Jesus Christ was a God of love who everything was always kind of fuzzy warm. Christ hit the things head on. He didn't always make friends. But let's look at this list for just a minute. Not a one of those on that list had been invited. When Jesus mentioned this, time and time again, they knew they were wrong. But they didn't change, did they? The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, they're the needy ones. How about at a soup kitchen? They constantly come to the soup kitchen, don't they? Those who are needy. They want their food in a certain way. They want someone to provide medicine for them. They're constantly asking for more. They're a group of needy people because they're usually unable to care for themselves and their families. In Jesus' day, someone who was lame would beg. That's what his alternative was. Much has changed about the blind and the lame in our society today, but still, there's some real barriers out there. In our area, there is Focus, and there is the ODC. They all have people who are their instructors, who are their guides that help them. These people have needs, and they require so much patience and so much energy from their instructors. But these are the people that were not on the dinner list. Why? Because we have all become takers instead of givers. There's a gentleman in the Life Care Greenbush Manor who I came to know. And he would invite me to come and have dinner with him from time to time, but he always had to pay for dinner. He says, I have an account in the office. I'm going to pay for your dinner today, Pastor. He was one who was very hard to understand when he spoke. You really had to pay attention to understand what he was saying. And as he would eat, he'd often end up with food all over his face. The staff told me that there was no other pastor who had ever gotten so close to this man, who had ever reached out to him in that way that I did. They said nobody ever took time for him. They always thanked me for taking time for this man. What this man was in a wheelchair. The first time I met him, I sat down in a chair and pulled it up and looked him in the eye. One of the things I've learned that when people are sitting in a wheelchair, get down to them at eye level. Sit down. And this poor man, I probably understood two words that day, that first time I talked to him. One of the nurses was there kind of helping me along, getting me to understand. But what happened with that was that he had a mind that was a steel trap, and he knew every month which Sunday I was coming to preach and share that Sunday afternoon, and he was there in the front row for me. There were a couple Sundays he wasn't going to come. The staff always sent me down the hall to go get him. I could get him to smile, and I could get him to come. It's all happened because I forgot about myself. I thought about someone else that day. I didn't realize what I had done for this man. I was just being a friend. And I believe today that Jesus Christ is pointing us towards a real key concept of understanding who God is and how can we do that if we don't get close to God so that we can be the light to someone else. He wants to challenge us to make our lives not about me. We miss the opportunity when the life is about me instead of about someone else and setting God first. If you and I would keep our eyes open, if we'd look around, we could love. I mean really love and serve. One day we're all going to be standing before God. What's God going to say? Is he going to say you've already gotten your reward? This is what I hope God says to me. I don't hope. I know God's going to say this to me. I pray that God's going to do this. Here's your reward, Jim. Thou good and faithful servant. What a good reminder for you and I today that we're all welcome at the Lord's table. We're all sinners. We all are needy people when we come to the Lord's table. We're only worthy because of Jesus Christ, because we've allowed him to enter. We've put him on. We come to his table to be renewed, to be given the assurance of our forgiveness of sins. In the midst of all of our brokenness, God loves us. God made us in his image. His image was perfection. How many messages have you heard in your life that have made you so uncomfortable you have squirmed in that pew? Well, I hope once in a while a message will cause you to stir. I find quite often that as I'm preparing messages, God doesn't put your picture on my computer screen so that I can write a message for you. No, I find that God shines a light on me. And it's not just a little light bulb. God shines a great big spotlight on me. God makes me quite uncomfortable some weeks as I'm preparing a message. Question remains, what am I doing about it? Sunday morning, I'm up early. I spend hours going over my message, spending time in prayer. Lord, I can't do this one. Lord, this makes me sound like I'm the one that's perfect, Lord, and I'm not. God brought me today to Philippians 2, verses 3 through 11. Listen to God's word. Philippians 2, 3 through 11, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself, obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, and of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that our every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The glory of God the Father. Let's you and I become like our Master. Let's take on that form as a servant. Let's you and I reach out to those who are less fortunate. Let's not do the things that will give us a reward here on earth, but rather let us do the things that will give us that reward in heaven, an eternal reward. The next time you invite someone to dinner, Who else are you going to invite with that person? Who are you going to add? And then last but not least, do not forget to invite Jesus. Amen. Lord, again today, we thank you. Lord, your word sometimes cuts quick, cuts hard, reminds us of our sinfulness. Today again, I thank you. Lord, lead us, guide us, and direct us, Lord, as we continue to serve you. In thy name we pray.